is a crusade, of course, to say, well, you shouldn't take things out of context. But we do it all the time, I think. What is it to take something out of context? It is to take not just a text, but a person or an event, and attempt to understand it without reference to its past and its future based on that past. For a text, it's very simple. You don't read what happened before the text in question, and you don't read after it. For an event or a person, you don't read what's happened prior, and you don't read forward. For instance, I can easily go down, probably right now, on the corner of Richmond and Dundas and find some poor native guy, three-quarters drunk, you know, throwing up, badly dressed, smelling terrible. I say, well, there they are again, those savages. We were right in the first place. Forgetting, of course, that our history in Canada of the treatment of native people has been profoundly evil. We have deracinated them. We have told them that their culture is totally objectionable, their religion, their language, their dress. And we have substituted something quite alien for that and induced this profound sort of self-hatred, so it's not surprising that alcoholism or the suicide rate among their teenagers is so terrifyingly high, or that their life expectancy is 45 years instead of 75, as it is for me. Context. Context is vital if we're really to understand anything. And I thought of all this as soon as I read these words, the first line from this passage that Alan read, from the letter to the Romans again, about we know that all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, that's consoling. That's enormously consoling. God's going to do right by me. God's going to do right by me. So if I need to be protected from pancreatic cancer, God's going to take care of me. If my kid's on drugs, God's going to somehow solve that problem. If I'm facing with bankruptcy or the travail of the market, God's going to somehow rectify all this stuff. In other words, God is basically functioning for me as a convenience to fulfill my agenda. And that's what the text was saying. I love God. Let's make a deal. I'll love you. You be nice to me. However, the context of this extraordinary passage is those passages that have been part of the liturgy for the past two Sundays. Remember last Sunday where Paul says right before this that we don't even know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what is good for us. In a word. And it's the worst kind of superficiality and taking things out of context to say that, well, I just bring my regular set of needs and desires before the Lord, and the Lord will provide for everything I ask. Well, here we might introduce this passage from Matthew. That's true if I have done all this stuff that Matthew's little parables are about. If I've sold everything for this pearl of great price. If subordinated everything in my life for the kingdom of God. If that's where I am, then that provides the reasonable context for this other passage. We know that all things work for good for those who love God. Because here, this passage today is consistent with the passage from last week. We don't know what is good for us. We don't know what is good for us. And we'd like to determine that totally by ourselves. Because it's safer that way. I'm in control. I can manage the world. And to live in Buber's great phrase, in the holy insecurity, the holy insecurity of spending my life searching for that other, that divine other, that mysterious one we call God, and so being transformed that what I even think is good for me becomes clearer in the light of that relationship, rather than me just sitting down and making my want list all by myself. Well, that's why the business of context is crucial to this thing. Let me first sell everything. Give up everything. Subordinate everything for the kingdom of heaven. And then I can say these other words with a straight face.